getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah of Tonic Podcast, and I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester. And in celebration of Speech and Hearing Awareness Month, our episode and topic for today's episode is communication.
That's right.
So why is communication so important for optimal health?
Yes, it's an interesting link that we're suggesting, isn't it? And communication is, it's everything. It's not just how we interact with the people that we relate to, but it's also how our tissues and cells communicate. It's also how our tissues and cells respond information to each other. So communication is happening at a microscopic level in our bodies between cells, and also on a macroscopic level with how we interact with the people in our environment.
And communication in terms of internal, how all of our body parts and tissues and organs are communicating with each other, and also external in terms of how we communicate in our relationships and professional relationships, things like that.
Absolutely, and I think expression of who we are as humans and our expression of our needs, communicating what our desires are, is an important part of health, because when we don't do those things, it acts as a stressor to the body. We talk about stress in every episode, but stress is then going to put the body into disease mode. So this is just another example of how we can use different ideas and techniques to keep the body healthy and well.
So what do you see in terms of problematic or dysfunctional communication dynamics that affect our health?
The first one is, we see this all the time. You see someone who's getting emotional about something and they stop themselves from feeling that emotion, whether they start to cry and then they try to stifle that, or they apologize for crying. This is really interesting to me because this is not something that we've chosen to do as adults. It's something that we were taught as children. Don't cry. Put on your happy face. Don't be mad. We're taught to not feel, and we're taught to not express. And that feeling, those feelings get essentially bottled up inside and prevent the system from going back into healing mode.
So the biggest thing that you see is just stunted emotional expression, where somehow we're not allowing for our emotions to express.
Yes, and I think the other big place is the needs. So if we have a specific boundary that we want to set, we might not feel safe to do that because of an authority figure, or we're worried that someone might not like us, or we're afraid of losing a relationship. So go ahead.
So how important, when I hear you say, you know, setting a boundary and the various aspects that are related to that, or saying no, how important is self-esteem to setting boundaries and saying no?
Yeah, I think that the self-esteem is sort of the fuel that allows people to create a boundary and keep that boundary with integrity. So, you know, having a high esteem is going to allow you to value yourself and understand your worth and understand that your needs are important, and it's only you that can help them get met. We can't actually rely on other people to do this for us. We have to create the boundary and then uphold the consequences when that boundary isn't maintained.
So we've been talking about this so far in a theoretical way. Can you give a specific example?
So this would show up a lot for folks who are dealing with family members who are harder to be around, harder to deal with. And maybe the relationship is strained because of past stories or people's interpretations of those stories, but it may be a healthy choice for someone to say, you know what, this relationship right now isn't serving me. I need to step away and take a break. And hopefully we can come back to this in a more healed way, mm-hmm. as an example.
So when there's strain and stress in a relationship, one way is to actually step away.
Yes, exactly. And another example is, say there's expectations of needs, or say you have needs that you want to be met in the house. So say you're a woman who has a spouse and a partner, and maybe it's their job to take the garbage out. And maybe they forget because it's just not in their sort of top of mind reality. And so being really clear is very key, instead of being kind of passive aggressive. I've learned this because I have a very literal husband who communicates in a very, he means what he says and he says what he means. So say it's garbage day, and if I were to say to him, hey, it's garbage day, he would shrug and not know what I meant, even though I'm implying like it's time for you to take out the garbage, since that's our agreed upon job for him. And I've learned that that won't be effective for that need to be met. What I have to say is, will you please take out the garbage? And he's more than happy to comply, because, you know, there's harmony in the equality of our roles in the relationship. But I've learned to just use my words very directly, and I found that with patience, these skills have become useful for them in their own journeys as well.
Mm-hmm. So being clear about what's important to us, communicating that to other people in a very direct, honest way, and then allowing people the opportunity to respond in the way that they do.
Yes, and that's the other component of this, is as we start to stand up for ourselves, value ourselves, we might make people upset as we start to change the dynamics of the relationship, and we have to accept that that's okay. Now, anytime we're not feeling good, it's because we've made an interpretation about something. So one technique that I've learned recently from my coach is, if something is not feeling good, so say you're feeling really mad about something, first you identify that you're feeling mad, of course, and then the next is to say, I'm feeling bad just because this is an interpretation. And then the challenge is, come up with 7 other interpretations, 7 other ways to put meaning behind, you know, the thing that's made you feel upset. And then the last step of this is to pick the most positive interpretation and focus on that. It's a way of shifting our attention to engage in a more positive space mentally.
So when you mentioned that example, I thought of the connection between thoughts and emotions.
Yes, and so thoughts precurse emotions. So something happens, we have a thought about it, even if it's not a conscious thought, and then our body responds with emotions. So anytime we are feeling a negative emotion, it's because we've had a negative thought, and that negative thought is most likely an interpretation. So say, for example, let's use my husband again. So say he leaves the dishes on the counter. That might make me really mad, and I might basically have this story that he's leaving the dishes on the counter on purpose to spite me. Let's just say that's one interpretation. That wouldn't feel very good in my body. Just thinking about that right now, I'm getting kind of riled up. But another interpretation could be, maybe he forgot, or maybe he just doesn't think about space in the same way that I do, or Maybe an emergency phone call came up and he didn't get to it. Or, and so by the time you come up with seven different things, you've already shifted out of that mucky, muddy mental state.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the uprooting, uprooting and transforming emotions that might feel uncomfortable has to do with changing thoughts about them.
Yes, exactly. I used to say to him, I learned in a communication book one time, the story I'm telling myself about blank is, and he would just say to me, well, don't tell yourself that story. So he was a long time ago not knowing the sort of formal steps of this procedure we just gave you, doing that exact same thing. Tell yourself a different story and you'll feel a different way. So coming back to communication with other people, one thing that's really valuable is as you're feeling emotions. So say you set a boundary, say the other person doesn't respond in a way that feels good. Know that they're not feeling good because they're making an interpretation, right? But a way to communicate in a very non-aggressive and non-offensive, defensive way is to just describe what's actually happening in your body. So you might say, oh, I'm noticing that my hands are feeling sweaty as we're having this conversation. Or you could say, oh, I'm feeling my brow being quite furrowed as you're telling me what you're saying. Oh, my heart is starting to race a bit. So what you're doing here is you're acknowledging that your body's having some kind of response. You're expressing that, which tells the other person that, you know, there is an impact of what's happening, but you're not in any way accusing anyone of anything. So it dampens the emotionality that can inflame a relationship.
And that has to do with taking responsibility and being in touch with what's actually happening inside of the body.
100%. It's all about coming back to you. You know, we don't feel things because someone has made us feel something. We are 100% responsible for how we feel, and we can change how we feel by changing our interpretations.
That's very radical and very profound.
Well, it's not my information. I think this is, but out of the people that I follow and study, this is, and in my own personal experiences, when we can be accountable for how we're feeling, you know, you choose how you feel, that your whole world can turn around,
mm-hmm.
including your health, coming back to health.
Let's talk a little bit, we've talked a little bit about setting boundaries, but what about saying yes to things?
Oh, very good question. So I have a blog about this that I'll link in the show notes, but there's some questions that you can ask yourself before you say yes to anything. But before I get there, I want to talk about how you can learn what your body feels like when something is a yes for you and when something is a no for you. And this is also on my website, so I'll put a link to the show in the show notes to this blog post as well, but this is basically how to make a decision. And so the idea here is that you take a coin, any denomination, it doesn't matter, and you decide on something that you want to make a choice about. So let's say, should I have stir fry for dinner? Let's just say that as an example. So you're going to assign yes to say heads, it's arbitrary, and say tails to the no answer here. You ask the question. Actually, I would recommend sort of taking some nice deep breaths first and asking the question, flipping the coin, and then what happens next is, of course, you look at the coin and you have 3 seconds to feel what your body feels like if your life were determined by the flip of a coin. So say you flip it and it says, yes, we're going to have the stir fry for dinner, and you feel lighter and you feel expansive and you feel yourself smiling. Maybe you feel goosebumps. Great. It's a good option. Or if you flip it and it says, yes, we're having the stir fry, and you feel heavy and you feel contracted and you feel again, your brow furrowing, maybe you're pouting, maybe not the best option for you. So we can use this really subtle strategy to learn what our gut instincts are. And this works for the first 3 seconds. After that, our brains, our ever wonderful knowing brains, try to logic our way to the answer. Well, you've already cut up all the vegetables for the stir fry. It's a good meal because you can extend it over a couple days. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's easy, but yet your body doesn't want it, but yet we talk ourselves into that sort of no choice. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So one way to determine yes or no is really connect with the feeling, the immediate feeling in our gut.
Exactly.
Which gives us an indication as to the body's response to that yes or no.
Exactly. And it's good to practice with stupid things, like I just suggested, the stir fry. And then move on to bigger things, like, should I move to New York and become a Broadway star? I mean, that could be... This is a muscle that you need to train like any other muscle in the body. So you would start in the same way. You would start with something simple and kind of trivial, and then, you know, practice enough so that you would feel comfortable making bigger decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine the point you made before about, in some way, detaching from the approval of others or from the reaction of others, because sometimes people around us may not agree with our decisions.
Exactly. And so we can come back to that idea of being responsible for our own feelings, not being responsible for other people's feelings. That goes two ways. And then using that micro communication to just be very present in your body while you're talking about these hard choices that you're relaying.
Now, one thing I want to talk about is communication can sometimes get a little more challenging in group scenarios where there's a predominant group norm or dynamic that makes it a little harder to speak up, because it's not just an individual, but it might be a group of people who feel the same way. And is there anything you can talk about that will help us in understanding how to be authentic and truthful, even in context of groups?
Yeah, that takes a lot of courage. And I think the same principles apply. You know, you could, if say someone's being bullied in the workplace and you're not okay with it, you know, you could do the same thing by, say, going to your manager and saying, you know, my body feels really hot. I feel really shaky when I think about what's happening. And it's okay to say that things are not okay. It takes a lot of courage, though, for sure.
So part of effective communication is not necessarily projecting blame or judgment or thoughts, but just communicating how our body is responding to a scenario.
Yes, and that actually reminds me of another point. Another strategy is to do everything in the first person. So we're really good at projecting our own stuff onto other people. Well, you did this, you said this, you blah, blah, blah. And that's all my own, again, interpretations. So this technique comes out of some work I do with a group of women. We meet and we discuss our dreams. And this comes from a dream worker named Jeremy Taylor, who recently passed away. And his idea is that as soon as the dream has been shared, the dream is now only alive in the imagination of the listeners. And so if I were to talk about the dream, I can't talk about it in the second person because I'm only imagining the dream in my own head. And so we would say, in my imagined version of the dream, I feel da-da-da when da-da-da happened. Okay, so we would start to work the dream in that way. But I think this can be nicely sort of extrapolated out into real-life conversations. So say you tell me a story that is really heartbreaking to me anyways, and also makes me really feel like I want to, you know, stand up and fight for the little guy. And so instead of saying, like, you should go and you should march over there and you should, you know, tell him who's boss and da-da-da, I could say, wow, in my imagined in my imagined version of your story, I feel really powerful and I feel like I really want to take a stand here. So I'm not pushing this on the other person I'm talking to, but I'm just owning how it's making me feel.
Mm-hmm. And again, that comes to self-responsibility and not projection or living through others, but really being empowered in our own selves.
100%, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other aspects of communication you'd like to talk about in terms of how it promotes optimal health and well-being?
Yes, I want to go back, because I know I said I would come back to it, the sort of three questions you can ask yourself before you say yes to anything. And I wanted to give a cute little example of a wonderful speaker and writer named Brené Brown. So the three questions are, so say you get asked to do a favor for someone. Ask yourself, is saying yes to this request aligned with my heart, soul, purpose? If you don't know what that is, there's lots of ways of finding out. Body talk is a work I do that is a great example of that. The next question is, will I resent saying yes? Try to project into the future and imagine what life would be like if you say yes to the thing. Is it going to be a burden? Is it going to take up too much time? Are you going to be grudgingly, you know, doing the work that you agreed to do? And then lastly, how does it feel coming back to the flip of the coin? How does it feel in my body? Is it feeling tight? Does it feel expansive? Go back to those body sensations. So Brené Brown is a shame and vulnerability researcher and speaker, and she has this great strategy that I just love. So she wears this ring, and if somebody asks her to do something, she spins the ring three times as she's kind of mulling it over, but she has this little mantra that she says to herself in her head where she says, discomfort over resentment. And she'll spin it again, discomfort over resentment, discomfort over resentment. And what she is reminding herself is that she would prefer to have the 30 seconds of discomfort over the days, weeks, months of resentment were she to say yes to the thing that she doesn't actually want to do.
Great. That's a great, those questions are great. The coin cost is great, and the ring example is great for figuring out what makes sense in terms of communicating from a very deep place.
Yes. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is going back to some of our previous podcasts about thyroid health, a lot of the communication and expression that we've been talking about is related to the health of the throat chakra or the thyroid gland. So often we'll see that area being out of balance when people are having a hard time communicating and expressing their needs or even just their own creativity.
Mm-hmm. And part of bringing it into balance is becoming more expressive.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's been really informative. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.